And you are listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and I'm very pleased to be with you here today. And I wanted to speak to that very thing that we're all thinking about, and that is the unfortunate situation we find ourselves with the COVID-19 virus. And I wanted to share a post that I wrote for Facebook and for, Instagram and different kinds of posts, because I was seeing a lot of controversy over all of the social media. And at the same time, I find myself obsessed. So that's why I came to writing this. I find myself wondering why I am fascinated with information as I research the pandemic and look at others' research and commentary. I realize that no one really knows anything with an absolute authority. Everyone's opinion and/or analysis is governed by their direct experience. An ICU nurse will see something different than a person holed up in their basement making videos. Someone struggling with the illness or their family and friends will see something different than those who have not been severely touched by the pandemic. Someone who is political will look at it with suspicion, while someone who is spiritual may see the hand of God. Those who can may exploit the situation for their own gain, while those who won't may integrate it into their own evolution. I'm fascinated with the chaotic human response to the crisis. In the end, we must each come to our own reckoning and navigate through it, with each one of us coming to our own understanding. Therefore, I witness everything without judgment. I have my own opinions and thoughts of how I choose to respond, and I respect everyone's right to do the same. The interesting thing, however, is I feel closer, feel more of everyone's humanity as we each grapple with this in our own way. Witnessing is a little like looking into another's eyes and recognizing their soul. In the end, to agree or not to agree is meaningless. We are all together on this journey. I'm hoping we will come together in service of our families and friends, even our perceived opponents, as a fellow human being, sometimes fragile, sometimes fearful, sometimes angry, and sometimes courageous. We all have times when we flow through these states. We can respect and appreciate each other's contribution as best we can, and offer kindness to each other when we can, because like it or not, we are in this together. And to me, that was really important for me to be able to make that transitional space to giving up any idea that I know anything or that anybody knows anything. And it is most appropriate for us to recognize each other's humanity during this time so that we can hopefully come together to benefit all of us through our actions and our choices. And now I have another piece that I wrote, which is a more of a medical update. And this was written at least a week ago. So some of the things that I've learned may have changed because research is ongoing and a lot of change takes place in a very short period of time. But I felt that this was really concerning for those of us who hadn't heard about it. So this is an update. I just heard today that 80% of people who receive intubation are dying. This is twice the usual fatality with this procedure. Some patients may not have pneumonia, and do not have excess fluid in their lungs, hence the dry cough. Some doctors are now saying patients need oxygen, but the excess pressure of the intubation machine exerts on the lungs may be damaging people's lungs. It may be that the red blood cells that carry oxygen throughout the body is the problem. The crisis may be caused by a COVID-induced condition where iron is being expelled from the blood, creating chemical reactions that prevent oxygen from getting into the red blood cells. In effect, the tissues and organs are being starved of oxygen by way of the blood, not only because of the lungs. It may be that some of the malaria drug therapies or other kinds of therapies, rather than cure the virus, impede this breakdown, allowing people to recover more efficiently from the virus by way of their body's immune function. So it's really important. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but one of the conclusions I came to is that we have to stop accepting everything we're being told. Research is necessary to counter all the dogma, and some of the frontline doctors are raising the alarm with these clinical procedures of intubation. And the other thing I wanted to speak to is some of the health disparities, and they're very real, with people of color, blacks and Latinos, having underlying issues that put them at higher risk. And I don't think that we can really, you know, I'm not attempting to put any blame on medical professionals for any of these things. They're absolutely doing the best that they can. But I think that we have to begin to pay attention to some of the misconceptions that have been going on. And I've been hearing some really distinctive testimonies that can be a problem. And one of the things is that the way this whole condition has been handled, by not testing or tracing or warning or allowing people who may have been exposed to find out that they've been exposed, may be also a cofactor in the large proportion of people who have been diagnosed. So, for instance, one young woman was diagnosed, and she went to the hospital, and she wasn't tested, but she was told that she would need to go quarantine for 14 days. But the problem is, quarantining while you're having the symptoms is not going to prevent you from being able to pass the symptoms. So if we're quarantining, then that means that we have to do it after the symptoms have been relieved. So once you're feeling better, it's not the time to go out and hang out with friends. You still have to quarantine feeling well from 14 to 21 days in order to not expose other people to this virus. And I think that's part of what's been happening in the poor communities. Another problem has been that people have been going in for help. I have a story of one woman who went in. They told her she had bronchitis. A week later, she went in. They told her she had the flu. The third time she went in, they finally decided, oh, well, you have enough symptoms to qualify as being diagnosed with coronavirus. And she died a few days later from the virus. So not only is it unfortunate that she didn't understand that she needed to perhaps find some treatment, or even if treatment wasn't available, she might have chosen to quarantine rather than exposing her children and her parents and her siblings. And so I think this is what's part of what's happening, is that this exposure is so extreme in poor neighborhoods, because if you look at these neighborhoods over the last 10 years or so, so many of the local hospitals have been closed. Many people don't have access to health care. So when they give you their guidelines, call your doctor. I mean, I hear that and I'm like, well, wait a minute, I don't have a doctor to call. And I think that this is part of the problem. And I don't know that that will change. So I really think that we have to be self-responsible and understand that we have to be careful in order to protect our loved ones. And I'm seeing a lot of evidence that it's really, really important to be proactive, to be able to build your immune system. And there have been studies both in China and hospitals in the U.S. using high-dose vitamin C. I would never recommend anyone to take high-dose vitamin C unless under the guidelines of a physician or health practitioner. But we can take over-the-counter vitamin C every day. And some of the other things that will strengthen our immune systems and help to work to fight viruses in general are lemon, ginger, turmeric, garlic, and things such as this. And I think that if we are proactive about our health, we can do a lot to ensure that our immune system is strong, as well as have some way of combating the illness if we have been diagnosed, if we're not in the hospital, if we're at home, then we can, vitamin D as well. Thank you, Wee. Vitamin D is also very, very key. So there's a lot out there. I encourage everyone to research, and zinc. Vitamin D and zinc are also very, very important. And these are strong nutrients that work with our immune system and help the body function in its proper form so that the immune system will function in its proper form. And we have to take this seriously. Even as we go through this particular pandemic, all of these underlying conditions that people are speaking of are conditions that we can change. We have control over this. And as a community, doesn't matter if we're what our economic background is, we have to take seriously what we need to do in order to create health among us. If we go back to some of our ancient knowledge, if we go back to some of just the old folk remedies, if we go back to the way people ate before factory farming and before mass and corruption in the slaughtering of meats and stuff like that, it's really important that we consider what kind of life we want to build on the other side of this epidemic. So these are my thoughts. I'm going to take some of your phone calls in a few moments and see what your thoughts are. But first, let's play a little bit of music.
Navo.
to Navayi by Halle, our opening theme, Frog Dancing by David Anthony Clark. And we do have a caller coming in. I want to welcome you. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Diane from the Bronx.
Hi, Diane.
And thank you for taking my call. I wanted to add that in addition to the taking folk remedies or supplements, we need to also add exercise. I know, and that's going to be difficult. I was going to say exercise and meditation. Both of those are going to be difficult, you know, in small apartments or, you know, many people being in the same place. Just a suggestion is you have a stair. If you're in a building that has stairs, okay, you could go up and down the stairs, make that part of some kind of routine that you could do. And even if it's only one step, you could do like a step routine. Remember back in the day, somebody had the step routines. You go up one and down one. You could do that. And in terms of the meditation, oh, if you have a laundry room, you can even do some runs around the laundry room. And what's the other one? Oh, the meditation, okay? If you use your bathroom as like the sanctuary, turn the lights off, you know, cover the light coming from the hallway and get in early in the morning and use that as a way of kind of connecting and, you know, getting some peace of mind.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I agree with you. I didn't get to that yet. I'm going to be offering a bit of a meditation and movement towards the end of the program, some of the Qigong movements with breathing, so that people will have that to do. And I'm actually doing an online healing Qigong class on Thursday mornings at 8 a.m., people can connect to that through studiomaya.com, and I'll give more information later. But thank you so much for bringing it up. It's so important that we move. Laying down on our back is the best way never to get up again. So thank you.
Okay, no problem. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. And we have another caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Kathy. This is John.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, I heard you mentioning, you know, taking zinc for the virus.
Yes.
And it's good to take zinc citrate. Your body absorbs it better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think last week I mentioned when I talked to you, you want to take quercetin when you take the zinc citrate, because the quercetin opens up the cell membrane around the cells, lets the zinc into the cell, and then it can destroy the virus.
Okay, that sounds great. I appreciate that. And I understand that's really one of the factors in this other drug, chloroquine. It works with zinc, some synthetic form of zinc, so maybe it does make sense to get the natural form. Thank you.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, take it easy. And we do have another caller standing by. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi. I want you to start by, first of all, recommending a very good video on YouTube. It's called Coronavirus Truth and Fiction by Greg Braden. B-R-A-D-E-N. And he describes what a virus is, how it spreads, etc. And then he goes into how it's intertwined with the economy. Anyway, it's a very interesting presentation. It's about an hour long.
Thank you so much for calling. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I moved outside of the state of New York, and I now live in Tennessee, and I'm unable to get you on the radio here. Can you tell me if your programs are aired here in the state?
Only on the internet, and you can listen live either on your phone or a computer. This is Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and we are welcoming your calls. And then coming up in a few moments, I will be doing a little bit of breathing exercises and some gentle movement that you can do at home. And I think that it's really important for us to be able to do that. I'm going to play just a bit of music, and then we'll go to more calls.
Duchu ziemi, w odrodzeniu pomóż mi. I ty, duchu lądu, upaść mi z twych rąk. Nie pozwól. Yeah. ujrzeć niebo, traw, zieloność. W godzinę zamknij wieczność całą, a w dłoni nieskończoność. W dłoni nieskończoność, a w dłoni wieczność całą.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, please.
Yes. Okay, I'm Beverly from Jersey. Just wanted to remark that I'm just kind of flabbergasted that the media, well, not the mainline media, but the alternative media, are quoting statistics that can't in any way possibly be real, because like 6 months ago, no one, even if they had a gunshot wound, everybody was autopsy, period. Before they had a cause of death that was even obvious, a gunshot wound, someone drowned, things that were obvious, they still were autopsy. So how are people quoting deaths related to any demise without nobody's doing 200 and 300 autopsies every night? That these numbers are changing. How are they positioning that so-and-so died of such-and-such without an autopsy when it was overtly obvious how someone died? They didn't accept that until they autopsied them.
Well, I think that's a good question. I don't particularly have an answer for it, but I believe one of the reasons they're not doing autopsies is because the persons, if they do have COVID-19, are infectious, and they don't want to expose more medical practitioners to it. I would say that might be one reason. The other reason might that I would project onto this is that there's a narrative in play, and it all plays into that narrative. So I don't know. Definitively, I don't know. Thank you so much for your call.
Could I say one quick other thing and leave you with it? And that is, I took chemistry and biology, and I learned that a virus is innate, that we all are filled with tons and tons of viruses, and that they cannot live. They're like a piece of lint. They cannot live outside of the body. There's nothing for them to be parasitic. They're symbiotic entities. And so all this covering up because a virus is going to jump on you is highly, highly ridiculous, because the virus only lives within cellular tissue. So I would suggest people actually go to that and look up what a virus is.
I guess also the other question would be, is this actually a virus or is it something else? I don't know. But people
know
are dying, that's for sure. Thank you.
Yeah, could they not have been dying from flu shots received last year that became what they call opposite of dormant, activated this year? Because like you said, or some one of the programs said, that now there are no flu statistics. There are no pneumonia statistics. So what happened to all those people that died on a regular basis?
Yeah, I think they're being reclassified. Thank you. I share your questions. There are a lot to ask. But I think more importantly is that we have to take whatever steps we can to preserve our lives. So, for instance, I'm suspicious that a lot of the people who are dying are not dying of COVID-19, but are dying because of the intubation damaging the lungs. And perhaps that's the cause of some of these deaths. So I think that there are a lot of questions that we have to ask. But most importantly, we need to take responsibility for ourselves and for our health. So really, thank you for your call so much. Bye-bye. My guest in studio is Wee Jacobs. We had a conversation before, and I thought it was very interesting. So share your theory of this with us.
Thank you very much for putting me on your mic. I have been paying attention to, as much as you have been, to a lot of, you know, conversations that's going on social media, and as well as what the government is putting out and what everybody is saying. And I think there's a kind of tally in terms of what people are saying. You know, you saw some of those videos by those spiritualists, the Babalawos and everything. There's a particular one that I found interesting, but I'll come to that later. However, my take on the whole thing is very simple, and that is that we were caught unprepared, right? There's no reason why we should dress this thing up in conspiracy theories. There's no reason for that. What has been going on in our society, particularly the United States, is that the United States determines the direction of where everything goes in the world, right? Economically, politically, you know, and the United States has been using that influence and that power and that authority to forward its own agenda. The problem is that when you look at the way we have lived post-World War II in particular, it's like we're rushing headlong into destruction. We're determined to destroy humanity. Our priorities are not human, right? We wage wars against ourselves and people who have done nothing to us. We, you know, destroy public health. We destroy education. We cut budgets. And all of those things are agendas of specific classes of people, you know, to benefit themselves. So there's the economic thing. We destroy the environment, right? Well, what happened is a natural law that kicked in. Action, reaction. It's very simple. If there is an action, there has to be a reaction, right? So the action is simply that we pushed the planet to extinction, a point of extinction, self-destruction, and the reaction kicked in. It kicked in not because nature decided that I have to stop this group of people, they're not, right? Or the hand of God stepped in. No. It kicked in simply because when a virus now happened to come out, it doesn't matter what the agency for that virus, you know, is, whether it's made by man or nature, it doesn't really matter. We're all agents of nature, of the universe, right? So we are caught unprepared. Right, because we didn't, I mean, we were closing hospitals, but we were sending people to war, right? That was our priority. Our priority is to be hyper-rich. So mm-hmm. we created a hyper reality, we created a hyper-economic situation, we created, you know, hyper-greed. So now we have, what, a few thousand trillionaires. But guess what? The planet cannot sustain Bill Gates and Jeff, we you understand what I'm saying?
Bezos and all the
we
whole
can't,
lot.
We don't have that kind of resources to sustain those guys.
Excellent right? point.
So,
yeah.
so that's what's going on, and on top of that, I want you to pay attention to a number of things. The battleground in public health issues in this country has been people with existing conditions, right? The insurance don't want to pay for them. The government doesn't want to take it on. But who are the people who are dying right now?
Mm-hmm. Folks with brown skin.
All right. Okay. So we are all folks with existing conditions, right? So that's what's going on. Now, there's something else that I want you to pay attention to. I know everybody has praised Governor Cuomo for his public performance these days. But do notice that the first thing that was created was hysteria, mass hysteria, right? And they're feeding that mass hysteria. They're telling you that there's something floating in the air. There's always something floating in the air, right? And that you have to stay away 6, 7, 8 feet from people. Right, there are people who live together now who are staying away from them. So Cuomo in his office is managing your home. Everybody is wearing masks. Are you sick? Is it not sick people that wear masks? Why are you wearing masks? Right? So there's something else that has taken over that is happening. Disaster capitalism is taking over, and we have to pay attention to that. Somebody is managing this thing, and everybody is being managed to behave exactly the same way. Right? We have lived with viruses from the beginning of time as human beings. Our bodies are made up of bacteria and viruses, right? We know what to do when we are poisoned. You cleanse your body. But why are people who are going into a place that is supposed to be a place for healing dying, right? One more thing before I go. Why is it now that we're being told that we can't go into shopping markets without putting gloves on? They won't let you in now. So in a week's time, are we going to need ID or microchip? So I'm not saying, but I want people to pay attention to what's going on. Because when this thing is over, when we talk about post-COVID, the only thing that will matter is that we all have to participate in that new world. If you are waiting for Mr. Cuomo to tell you what to do, you are in trouble.
Okay, thank you for that insight. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
He has some good points there. I really appreciate that. It's a great show you got here. But going back to the conspiracy theories that he doesn't want to go to, he just pointed out himself. He said that we can't afford the billionaires. And quite frankly, they just told us they can't afford us. You're on your own. They took all our money away. Pharaohs have put the plagues upon us. So they can go hide in their shelters. Now we're scrambling around like a bunch of lost souls because we don't have our master to tell us how to work, to go back to feed ourselves. We're frightened into hysteria where we send normally our kids to go die for our freedoms. We're giving up because our grandparents that are in their 80s and 90s may die if we go to work, but they can stay home. But when the famine comes from the depression and people are really starving in their homes and dying, what is grandma going to say when we look at her and say, hey, grandma, we all stayed home. Now we're all dying because we tried to save a few. Hundreds of us are suffering. Thousands of us are dying from starvation and disease and just a collapse of the economy. We have to look at this as it is. It's a bioweapon to get us chipped, to get us under total control, take away all our rights. And you better wake up to that fact. That's what's happening, right?
All right. Thank you for your input. There's so much. And I just don't know the whole truth of it all. And I want to preserve some time to do some breathing. So this will be the last call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, turn off the radio, please.
Yeah, it's off.
Okay.
Hi, Katie.
Hi.
This is Connecticut, man. Okay, listen. Anybody who listens to BAI as long as I do should never be surprised. You got some new shows and some new people on BAI. Everything BAI said, they say it's conspiracy, and they're not into this conspiracy. You remember 2 years before West Nile, Robert Lademan had come on that show and said, we're going to have West Nile in 2 years, and they're going to spray a chemical called malathion. And in 2 years, that happened immediately. Before 9/11, you have Michael Levine and these guys 2 weeks before on WBAI telling you what's going to happen and that it's going to change the country forever. Okay, listen to people with smart thinking and people who are ahead of the game. And don't fall in this conspiracy line. Just listen. You got a brain and you can think for yourself. Don't let nobody sway you one way or the other. Just listen and pay close attention. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. I do appreciate it. Did you want to respond?
Well, I think that everybody is pretty much saying the same thing. The real issue is how do we get the information to the people who are not listening?
Make a donation if you can, but also spread the word and let people know through your social media about this station and hopefully about this program and the many programs that we do have on the air. And when is your show, Wee?
It's called Afrobeat Radio, and it's on Wednesdays from 10 to midnight. It's really a magazine show, politics, music. Right now, we're doing a series of panels, bringing people from all over the world to talk about this situation that we're in and how people are responding to it.
And how do people find out more about that?
We have a website. It's afrobeatradio.com. That's www.afrobeatradio.com. And we're rebuilding the site so that you can have easy access to it and to more programming that we do outside of our collaboration here on BAI. But I do want to respond to what the gentleman said, Connecticut Man. I think he's absolutely, absolutely right. You have to be mindful. You have to listen. You've stayed home now for what? We've stayed home now for 3 weeks, right? So everybody has finished cleaning their house, right? You've done all the other chores that you had to do.
Or not.
All right. I keep messing my up.
Some of us have
been
a
very
profound
productive.
Capacity for procrastination.
Right. I'm the general, I'm the president of the Club of Procrastinators. But it's been a very productive time for me, right? That's because I have been prepared for a moment like this, not COVID-19. Right? The best time for me in the city is when everybody's on holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like I have an extended vacation going
right.
on. And so it's been a very productive period for me. And our listeners will find out more later. Yes, we must be mindful. Right? This is our time now.
Yeah, well, this is where I was opening that everyone has to come to their own conclusions and resolve for themselves the correct action. Now, I was on the phone 2 nights ago with a just died.
Mm-hmm. And I've been hearing stories.
And so this is not a game. People are seriously and really succumbing to this, whatever we want to call it. It's not something to scoff off.
Right.
It has to be taken seriously.
It has to be taken seriously.
And whether or not we're going to know what the origin of it is, I don't know. If viruses are spreading through the air, I don't know. I don't know how to evaluate some of the things we're being told.
Mm.
I just know that people are losing their life and
right.
we need to take action to protect our
right.
life.
Right.
And we can work out the rest of it,
right.
but we can't sit back and do nothing
right.
and just allow our people and our communities to succumb to this. And I'm really quite concerned about the issue of money and going back to work, because I believe the reason there's no bailout for the people is so that we would become desperate, clamor to get back to work to serve the potentates and the folks who are going to profit from that at the expense of our lives. So we're being forced to make a decision. Do I feed my family and potentially die? Or I'd stay home and potentially starve? That's not a tenable situation. And from my perspective, rather than giving in and going back to work, we need to find another way of dealing with this.
Mm-hmm.
Because the answer is not to force our children back to school when I'm hearing 2% and 3% will die by being taken back to school. We're supposed to sacrifice 2% or 3% of our children. Is Bill Gates' kids going to die? Trump's kids going to die?
No.
No. Bezos, no. It's going to be the same people who are dying now. And I think that we have to take a step back and say, no, that's not the answer. And like you said, we're walking lockstep to the point of being microchipped or force vaccinated. We need to get into the practice of saying no,
no.
now.
No.
Because if we don't go back to work, they will lose. They're the ones that are losing.
No. They won't lose, Kathy. They lost already.
Mm-hmm.
It's over. People have to understand this thing. The economy is over. The empire is over. I'm sorry to break it like that, okay? We have to form a new republic.
Oh, we're getting real revolutionary now.
Get, We have to form a new I'm telling you this. Listen, I see this virus thing, I'm not concerned about the moment that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned about what is coming next.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
That's I understand
why
perfectly.
We have to pay attention, be mindful, and participate, organize, get to know your neighbor. If
okay,
they don't have food, share
I'm
with
running,
them.
I'm running out of
okay,
time.
Sorry.
No, don't apologize. You know, I was, I'm very glad you were here and could join me in this conversation. Your contribution is invaluable. But now it's time to take a breath. Just to bring us back to the center, I want to invite everyone to sit upright in your chair, or if you're standing, to stand upright. If you're still lying around in bed, that's okay too. Just straighten out the spine. Allow your body to be expansive and take a nice deep breath. And when you take that deep breath, exhale with a sigh. So take a nice deep breath. Again, take a deep breath and sigh with that exhale. And then take a few moments to allow your shoulders to relax, tighten and relax, tighten the shoulders and relax. We carry a lot of tension in our shoulders. Tighten and relax. And then I want you to practice something called the lymphatizing breath. It's called Shi Shi Hu, and it's a breath practice used in Qigong practice. You do it during Qigong walking or just sitting and contemplating. And it is to fill your lungs completely with two breaths. Hold the breath. And then exhale. So we inhale, filling the lower lung. Inhale a second time, filling the upper lungs. Hold the breath for an equal measure. And then exhale, letting all the breath out of the lungs. And what that breath does is it expands the lungs and the muscles of the lungs, but it also, in that transition, will pump your lymph system so that your body can detoxify in greater measure. So let's do a few of these breaths for the remaining moments of this program. Inhale. Inhale. Hold, exhale, inhale, inhale, hold, exhale. Inhale. Inhale. Hold. Exhale. Another good exercise is as you inhale, bring your arms to your sides and lift them both out to the sides, bringing your hands above your head, stretching your spine. Inhale. Exhale, allowing your arms to float back to your sides in a relaxed way. So that's the way to go with this. I want you to keep taking care of yourself. So again, inhale, inhale, hold, exhale, inhale, inhale, hold, exhale.
Thank you. you will.